All right, welcome back to another episode, Season 2, Episode 8 of Everyday Ecclesiology. I'm Daniel Greenhall.
And I'm Desiree Greenhall.
And we're not sisters. We're sister-brother. We're husband-wife, in case you wondered that. I realize we don't clarify that all the time. And our goal in this podcast is to explore what it looks like for the body, meaning the local church, to build itself up in love. This podcast has three more segments, including what we're doing, a little bit of what we're learning, and what we're reading, which, yes, those are all connected, but we break them up slightly differently so that we can say we have segments because I sound fancy, or at least I think I sound fancy.
Okay.
Or maybe I just sound like a layman within the local church because that's what I am.
There you go.
Okay. So, Desiree, what are we doing this week? Or what have we been doing since last time?
Oh, every time you ask me that, my brain just starts like whirling about with all the different things we've been doing.
Well, thankfully, I give you notes.
Yeah. Well, you want me to say that we got some new kitchenware?
Yeah. I mean, you can say any of the things on there.
Okay. I have some, my pan collection, pots, pans, saute pans, fry pans, skillets are pretty much like college student quality.
Yeah. There's a couple outliers, but most of it is college student level.
I have one really nice one that someone got me as a gift for Christmas.
Yeah, the nonstick?
Yep.
Yep.
So,
and we have a stock pot.
That's like a Walmart pan.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
But yeah, so we finally got a pan that will be super useful. And
the stainless steel?
Yep.
Yeah, stainless steel saute pan 10-inch?
I think so.
I think so.
So yeah, I'll be able to broaden my scope of cooking because I've been kind of getting tired of meals that we've been making.
Yeah.
But there are just some things that you can't really make well.
Yeah, because of how much food sticks in stainless steel versus cast iron versus nonstick is different. And that can give you different flavors in the food and can cook more evenly or less evenly, which sometimes less evenly is desirable, I'm finding. And not most of the time. It's very niche cases. But this pan cooks more evenly. The stainless steel one we got cooks more evenly than the nonstick ones we had.
Yeah.
So that's been helpful. We've been doing quite a bit of reading. We'll get to that in a minute. We'll get to that many times in here. We also got a new podcast set up, but it's only just...
Sort of.
It's two new cables. That's it. But they're longer, so I can actually have my recorder right next to me instead of on the table, so I can actually just quickly poke the mute button if I need to sneeze. So as long as I remember I can do that, we're good to go. I can also
I can lounge back in my chair.
I can also poke my fancy buttons. Like that.
Which one is that?
Oh, you can't hear. You're not wearing your headphones. It was like the...
The applause?
No, not the applause. That's... Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Desiree can't hear any of this.
No.
So she's probably laughing at me. You guys will probably laugh at me too. But now I can poke that and I have my mute button, so I feel a little fancy. I'm glad I bought the two cables so that we can lounge back a little bit more.
Yep.
And our guests will enjoy that too when they get to come back on the podcast.
That's true.
When we had Mal and John on the podcast, they had to kind of lean forward and crowd around one mic, but now they can lounge back a little more if we have them on again. We've been making some plans for the future while knowing that Proverbs 16:9 is still true. That's the proverb that I'll summarize. I had it pulled up on my computer, but I closed my computer and I'm using my phone. We make plans for the future, but the Lord decides what's actually going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
A man plans. Okay.
I'll gotta just pull it up. Computer.
Yep, I just got to open up my computer, even if just for this one thing. I knew I should have just left it open. Okay. Proverbs 16, verse 9. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord determines his steps. I think what the proverb's getting at is that, yes, we do plan, we anticipate, we think about the coming future, but the Lord determines what's actually going to happen. I could be misinterpreting that. So if so, let me know. I'll fix it. But I know that it's true that we do want to, as a rule, we want to be wise in how we plan for things and know that the future is coming. Even if we look at Proverbs 31, the woman who takes care of her house can laugh at the time to come because she's prepared for it.
Mm-hmm.
She's taking care of her household. They're clothed well. So we do want to act and make decisions according to wisdom, meaning what is this? How is this going to work itself out are some of the things we would consider. But we also know that it's the Lord who's sovereign over everything that happens. So we know that we don't know what God may choose to send our way, so we plan, but we hold the plans looser than our grasp on the sovereignty of God. That's how I wrote it. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Do I need to read it again? You look confused.
Yeah, read it one more time.
Okay. We do want to plan for and be prepared for the times to come according to wisdom.
Yes.
But we also know that we won't know what God may choose to send our way. We know that we don't know what God may choose to send our way.
Okay.
So we plan, but we hold the plans looser than our grasp on the sovereignty of God.
Okay.
So we plan, but we're not, if this doesn't happen, my desires aren't met.
Right.
We plan, and we know that if God chooses to throw something else our way, then our plan can flex, but we still plan. We hold
our plans with an open hand.
Yep. That's why I said we hold our plans looser than our grasp on the sovereignty of God.
Well, hopefully our grasp on the sovereignty of God is not loose.
Exactly. We hold our plans looser than that.
But doesn't that mean our, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe.
Next.
Yep.
No, you're fine.
And then new kitchenware and dieting-ish, because I was trying to go without sugar for February, and it's... Well, not zero sugar. Like if we have pasta with pasta sauce and that has added sugar, I'm not that worried about that. But without like eating a cinnamon roll and ice cream every night.
Right. We were really bad snackers.
Yeah.
That's like how we express love to each other. We're like, let's sit down and eat sugar.
Yep. Or I go to the store, I'm like, I want to get Desiree a snack. But when I come back and say, here, I got you peas for a snack, it's just not the same. Because what am I trying to say when I get you peas for a snack?
The nice thing for you is that I enjoy a lot of healthy things.
That's true. Yeah. I just don't feel like you're going to enjoy it. I'm like, wow, somebody because gave me this. I would not enjoy it.
Yeah. But that teaches me to get to know you better. Candy and sweets and stuff.
Yep. If you came back and brought me kohlrabi, I would not be super happy. I'd be like, yay.
Sometimes I go to the store and when I see fresh Brussels sprouts, I get like 5 and put them in a baggie and buy that. And that's like my little splurge and treat to myself.
Do you put them on like the roasty oven pan thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember you doing that. Those weren't too bad.
Yeah.
I was okay with those. I'm not going to be stealing them from
you. With bacon.
But yeah. Bacon makes most things better. Okay. So what are we learning? I always ask you these questions, but you're welcome to transition and ask me the questions too.
Well, we're going to...
I left it upstairs.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Did you mean to do that?
It's fine. All my notes are right
here. Okay. We're learning, kind of going through a book and reviewing what we learned from it.
Yeah. So we're going to go over a book called Why Should I Give to My Church? It's by Jamie Dunlap. It's put out by Crossway.
A girl?
Jamie is a guy, as far as I know. Oh, man. Do you want to run up and get the book?
Will it say?
It should have a short biography about the author. Okay. I can mute your mic while you go up and run.
Okay, you can keep
And I'll
keep
run
talking.
Through how we're going to do book reviews.
I feel like in the last 3 podcasts, I've had to run and do something.
Or I can Google it. I can Google it. I have the Google.
Okay.
That'll be a little bit easier, so I don't have to mute your microphone.
It might be awkward. Do you want to pause?
Okay. Nope. I'm gonna keep it awkward and go through it the whole time. Okay. Oh. Why?
Maybe I should talk about something.
You can hear me type.
This is a really awkward pause. I made yogurt today, guys.
They can hear me typing. Why Should I Give to My Church by Jamie Dunlap. I got to click on Jamie Dunlap.
It's fine. Jamie can
it's
be a guy's name.
It's a guy. See,
okay.
You're second guessing me.
Well, I know a girl, Jamie.
Yeah, that's
so.
True. Yep. Well, this Jamie is a guy. We're going through a book called Why Should I Give to My Church by Jamie Dunlap. But we're going to frame book reviews a little bit differently, right?
Yes.
So... our book reviews aren't going to be necessarily book reviews. So I know that sounds confusing, but what do I mean by that? We're going to frame it a little differently so that it better fits within or so that it better demonstrates how book reviews fit within the scope of this podcast. So instead of doing a full review, we're going to share what we learned from a book. The segment is called What We're Learning.
Right.
So instead of doing like a full on, hey, here's everything about this book. I'm going to walk through it like page by page or anything, which is not necessarily what all book reviews do. But we want to express that and help you and us keep in sight the goal of this podcast to share what we're learning. We're not first book reviewers. We're first laymen who read a book and learned from it. And so we're going to share with you what we're learning from the book. And because I also don't want people to think that I am giving like a full review on the book.
Right.
Here's just, and it'll help me not like, only come in and say, here's everything wrong with the book. Because, yes, we know that unless I'm reviewing the book of James or some other book of scripture or the book of the Bible as a whole, nothing's going to be perfect. But it'll help me focus on, here are some things that I found very helpful in the book. I'll still add caveats. Those are helpful.
Yeah.
But we want to share what we found helpful and true when reading books.
Yeah.
That makes sense? Okay. So this one, you haven't read all the way through, right? We started it while I was reading out loud.
The book?
Why Should I Give to My Church?
No, I read the other small one.
How Can I Find Someone to Disciple Me?
Yeah.
Yep. I have that listed on stuff I'm reading too. I haven't finished that one.
Oh, I never said I read that one on the podcast. Man, I feel like I did all this extra work and I didn't even get to boast about it.
Okay. Well, you can add it to your list at the end of this one.
Okay.
Hold that thought. Don't forget it. Okay. So here are some of my thoughts going into the book. And if you have some, you're welcome to share them as well.
Okay.
But when I picked up the book, I went into the book hoping to find a way to either justify my own level of giving to my church or to find a way to justify giving less.
Really?
Yeah. I was going into this like, okay, I give to my church. I didn't used to. When I was starting out in college and when I was in high school, I didn't give to my church, but I do now, so I'm good. And I was also like, or maybe I can find a way to give less. Like maybe I actually give too much to my church. And maybe this guy will be like, see, you just need to give this much and then I can drop down to that.
Okay.
But Dunlop was kind enough to reveal my own stingy heart. So to be clear, I do find joy in giving to my church, knowing that when I go to work, I'm able to do that work and support my local church family. I'm able to support my family and my local church family. I enjoy going into work thinking about that. And I'm even glad when we get to write a check to the church and I put it in the box, knowing that my money is going towards supporting my local church. I am for the local church. Hopefully, if you're listening to this podcast, you know that by now.
Mm-hmm.
However, that's not the whole of my heart. Like WHOLE. That's not the entirety of my heart. And I do not have purely generous and joyful motives, because when I actually stopped to think about how I went into this book, and this is only after I finished the book, did I realize that I was thinking that going into the book. You ever do that?
Say that again.
It was only after I finished the book that I realized, oh, I didn't find this in the book. And then I'm like, wait, was I looking for that? And I realized I kind of was.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So, those were some things that my thoughts that I had going into the book, even if I didn't say them out loud, because I probably wouldn't have expressed them that way before. If you'd asked me about giving to the church, I probably wouldn't have said, oh yeah, I give a lot to the church. It's fine.
Yeah.
And I'm good to go. But that's likely the posture of my heart before.
Okay.
So what are some things that I learned in the book? One of the principles he pointed out is something in a Slugs and Bugs song. Remember this one?
Mm-mm, maybe. Okay.
Our hearts follow our treasure.
Oh, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 16?
I'm not sure.
It's hard for me to say that without singing it.
Yeah, we're going to start singing.
Oh, no. This is not a singing podcast, I
no,
promise you.
No, it's not.
Not that we won't have music, but.
Yeah, if we ever have our kids down here.
Yeah, right? But our hearts follow our treasure. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 16 say, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust corrupts and where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's okay. I just quoted it. But if you want to look it up and actually read it, that's fine too.
No, I was just making sure it's the right passage.
Oh, okay. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 16?
Nope.
What?
No, it's the you are the light of the world.
Oh, no. I had two Slugs and Bugs songs confused. Okay. Matthew 11, Matthew 18, maybe. Okay. I'm going to ask Google. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now we wait for Google to respond. Matthew 6. Oh, everybody can hear Google responding. There you go. Now you know my secrets. I use Google. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's Matthew 6.
Okay.
Wow, why did I get those two songs confused? I don't know.
Yep.
Either way, that was one principle that Dunlop brought up, and that does ring true, oddly enough, because it was in Scripture, is that our hearts follow our treasure. And likewise, our allocation of treasure will reveal the allegiances of our hearts. Like where I choose to put money mm-hmm. shows what my heart wants to go towards.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean I shouldn't pay my cell phone bill. Because it just means I should understand why I'm paying my cell phone bill. Because
mm-hmm.
two people can both pay their cell phone bill, one for a good reason that pleases God, and one for a bad reason that does not please God.
Yeah.
But our hearts do follow our treasure. Also, he mentioned that, well, the title of the book is Why Should I Give to My Church? So he tackled, that's the word I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
He tackled both sides of that question. Why should I give? And why should I give to my church?
Okay.
So he addressed both sides of that issue. And he said that giving, and so he proposes that scripture says that giving should be to the church, though he does clarify not exclusively, but definitely. Those are my words. That's my summary of what he said.
Okay.
He doesn't denounce giving to other institutions or causes. For instance, if I wanted to donate to Faith Baptist Bible College, or if I wanted to donate to some
Alpha
other
Women's
charity.
Center.
Yeah, Alpha Women's Center, something like that. He doesn't say don't do that, but he does clarify that the local church should be our first priority over mm-hmm. other charities, institutions, things like that. And
well,
he supports that.
And look into where your church also gives.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe giving to your church helps them already give to those places you might be thinking of.
Yep. And one clarification he makes is that he doesn't even say you shouldn't give to non-Christian institutions either. He's not saying all your giving should even, you shouldn't even, let me rephrase that. He says you should give to your church. And he says sometimes it might be okay to give to other financial institutions. And even it might be okay to give to non-specifically Christian ones. But bear in mind that all of the world might support non-Christian ones, but pretty much only Christians support Christian ones.
Yeah.
So just something to keep in mind. He's not saying don't ever do it, but he's saying that might be something to helpful to keep in mind.
Just be wise about how your money, how your dollar is going to be stretched type of thing.
We should be shrewd too. Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't actually go into that because that's kind of outside the scope of this book, but
yeah.
that is a principle that should affect our giving. And yes, I know I'm not developing these fully. It's because you should read the book. It's a very, very thin booklet. It's like 50 pages, maybe.
Helps you feel accomplished when you turn that last page.
Yeah. But it's a good one that you should pick up. You should read. I don't want you to listen to this podcast and think, wow, I don't need to read the book now because I don't want to take away from his book sales. I want them to be able to sell books to go to people and people to actually pick up books and read them.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a good one to start on. If you're like, wow, I really want to start reading. You guys read so much, which we don't actually.
No.
I mean, we do read and we do read more than I did before college, but that we're not like model readers or anything. But
no,
we do want to encourage people, ourselves included, to read. And this would be a really good starting point. If you're like, wow, I want something that I can read. And maybe you can just do it, read all the way through, because maybe you've never actually read a book all the way through. Maybe you've picked one up, you've skimmed through, you've skipped a couple sections here and there, you've sped read for a little while, you let yourself zone out for a little while, but then tuned back in and didn't go back and read it all the way. And you want a book that you can say, hey, this is a good starting point for me saying I read the book all the way through. This would be a really good one. It wouldn't be hard for you to just sit down, think through it, get all the way through it in like an hour or two. Even if you take the time to fill in all of the questions that he proposes throughout to help you think, you could probably get through the book in, if you were very slow and methodical and really thought about all your answers, it might take at most 2 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not hard. And you can break that up over a few minutes throughout a week or something like that, mm-hmm. wherever you have time. So this would be a good one that I recommend picking up. But I have a couple more things. Some of the most helpful insights that Dunlop gave were in regards to giving if you have debt. I'm not going to read what Dunlop has already written for the sake of copyright issues. I'm not quite sure how much I can quote. I don't know what's covered under Creative Commons. I did some looking into that and I didn't find anything conclusive. So I'm just going to probably talk to someone at Faith that would know about those laws. Because I'm sure we have people that understand the copyright laws
mm-hmm.
that I could talk to at Faith. But he gave several helpful truths that can guide others giving or my own giving in light of debt. Mostly on orienting how we think about debt. Life is not for getting out of debt. However, it's not always good to be in debt, but it's not always bad to have debt. And so he gave a couple of things to think about in regards to giving and how it relates to I have debt,
mm-hmm.
things like that. And in regards to saving were helpful as well.
Right.
Lastly, the last thing that I have down, Dunlop encouraged talking with your pastor or another older, wise gentleman and or lady, depending on who the reader is, about finances and giving.
Is?
Yeah, who the listener is. Well, who the reader is, because he was talking to the reader.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. About finances and giving, because we've on the podcast talked about this before, and believers ought to talk with others in their local churches about all kinds of spiritual issues to know, and know that this is good and proper for discipleship. Meaning, we know that it's good for us, and it's proper for us, and it's commanded for us to talk with other believers in the church,
mm-hmm.
to interact with them, to learn from them, and it's good, proper, and right for older men in the church to teach the younger men how to live properly, older women to teach younger women. And we do this, but we often don't talk about finances. That doesn't mean we didn't walk into church with a sign that says, this is how much I make, this is how much I give, this is where all of my stuff goes, and turn all our budgets in to everyone.
Yeah.
But it is saying we shouldn't think of it as only private, meaning there is definitely a place for a proper place for everyone to seek out some wisdom in how they budget, how they allocate their monies, how they even think about finances, not even just towards giving to the church, but for, hey, where is all my money going? Mm-hmm. How can I maybe work towards getting out of some debt? Or maybe should I incur some debt for the sake of the local church? Which is an interesting topic, and don't take what I'm saying out of context, because I think there can be a time and a place for that, but don't just say, oh, Daniel said it might work sometimes, I'm going to do it here. I qualify that heavily, and I don't add all the qualifiers here.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that it's not impossible for that to be the case. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Money and giving are areas in which we all need to be discipled to understand what God has for us in the area of finances.
Mm.
So I thought that was very helpful and very definitely within the realm of something we would encourage within this podcast, because we believe that scripture encourages it.
Yeah. That sounds like you learned a lot from the book.
I did.
And I mean, I haven't read the book yet. I just listened to you go through your notes, and I am very intrigued.
Yeah.
Going through the book now. So I'm glad we have it.
Maybe you can add it to your I finished reading list for next week.
Maybe. We'll see.
We'll see. I've had quite a bit of time to read this week.
You
surprisingly.
Have, yeah.
Yeah. That's probably because I stopped watching YouTube videos and started reading instead for that time.
Hmm.
We'll see. Okay. That was what we learned from Why Should I Give to My Church, meaning more of what I learned. But Desiree went through, I think, half the book so far. So she learned a little bit of it too, hopefully. But what about what we're reading? Well, first thing I have is Why Should I Give to My Church by Jimmy Dunlap, because I did
put
read that
on
since
the
last time.
Finished list.
I can, yep. And I started How Can I Find Someone to Disciple Me?
Okay.
By, I didn't put in who wrote that. I put a by, and then I didn't put an author in there.
That's awkward.
It's a 9 marks book. It's in the same series as Why Should I Give to My Church. It's a very, very short mm-hmm. book. Same thing. I started and finished in 2 days Autopsy of a Deceased Church by Tom S. Rainier. I think I'm going to do either our next episode. Well, not the next episode will be a catechism, but then the one after that will probably be an overview of this book, because I have it finished. I want to do it while it's fresh in my mind.
That book, How Can I Find Someone to Disciple Me?
Is it also by Jamie
Dunlap?
By
Kell. Garrett, J. Garrett Kell.
Can you spell the last name?
K-E-L-L.
Oh. Okay. J. Garrett Kell.
And it's cheap.
Yeah. Those are, like I said, super thin ones. You can probably find them cheaper than Amazon if you go to, like, Faith Bookstore.
It's like $1.99.
On Amazon?
At a Christian bookstore,
oh,
so you
yeah.
probably have to pay shipping. Oh,
yeah.
It's on sale right now. Christianbook.com is okay. having a big sale right now. Normally it's $5.
But if you can find, like, a Christian bookstore in your area, you can probably get it without shipping for about the same price.
Right.
So you should try that. Especially if you live in our area, then go to Faith Bookstore. They should have this. I'm not 100% sure.
Well, they could at least get it in for you.
That's true. Like I said, I started and finished Autopsy of a Deceased Church by Tom S. Rainier. Not Thomas, Tom S. Rainier. He wrote another book. Was he Simple Church? Did Tom S. Rainier write Simple Church?
Maybe.
Google Simple Church.
Okay.
See who wrote that. I'll go on to my next one. Either way, that's one I want to go through. I found it helpful. I found his insights very helpful. And I want to do kind of the same style.
Yeah.
Review. Was that?
Good job.
Hey, look at that. I thought he mentioned that.
Tom S. Rainer.
See, it looks like Thomas.
That's so funny.
Yep.
And Eric Giger. I don't know how to say his last name. G-E-I-G-E-R.
Well, it sounds like the instrument, a Geiger counter.
Maybe.
That's like a scientific instrument, but I also might be pronouncing that wrong. Either way, that was Simple Church. Simple Church was not on my reading list. That was just the same author as Autopsy of a Deceased Church. I started the book Deacons by Smethurst. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Yeah, like my last name. I'm only through the introduction because I picked that one up for a couple minutes after I finished Autopsy, the book. Mm-hmm. But I started that one. And I'm still making progress in One Assembly by Jonathan Lehman. I think I've clarified some of the issues that I thought I had. And I don't think it's as big a deal as I thought it was, thankfully.
Cool.
I was just potentially overreacting to issues that I thought that I saw. Not that I would ever do that.
No. Yeah. Never.
But I mean, we're not completely in line with him theologically, but I don't think it makes as big a deal in this book.
Okay.
Meaning, well, because there are times when someone might have a theological difference from you mm-hmm. and me, but it doesn't actually work itself out in the area that we're talking about.
Right.
Yes, it's connected, but the issue won't be big enough to be problematic.
Like you can't learn anything from
Correct.
It.
Correct. I don't think this is that bad. There's a couple others I'm starting, but I'll save those for mentioning later. Where's my other one?
When you've actually started them?
Yeah. I left one on your list instead of putting on both of our lists. That way you could mention it.
Oh, okay.
There's a couple others I'm starting, but I'll save those for mentioning when I've actually started them.
Okay.
What about you?
Trusting God, but I'll be saying that all the way until June.
Yeah, that's fine. Sometimes you slowly plod through a book.
Sometimes.
So it'll be on there.
That's the other one I put on was Lord of the Rings. I'm still on the second book, and yes, I haven't picked it up in a while, but I hope to read a little bit at least this week because we watched the movies
and
over the span of 3 months. There were so many scenes where I'm like, ugh, I bet this is fleshed out so well in the book, and I can learn so much more about the character. So yep. I'm excited to try picking that up maybe this week, even if it's just a page or two. And then the one you didn't have on your list was Gentle and Lowly by Dane C. Ortlund.
Mm-hmm. I know. I know. That word brings back funny memories for you. But
that's like an inside joke.
Yep.
But that's the book our small groups will be going mm-hmm. through. So
yep.
We'll be going through that one.
I started that one. I'm hoping to get that one done. Maybe before small groups start, but it's a little bit longer and I don't read that fast. So it'll probably take me a little bit.
Yeah. It'd be nice, though, if you could read it all and then before each small group session, read the chapters that are specifically for that week.
Yep.
Then you could get a better feel for, like, the author's intent and all that.
Where he's going.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cool.
And then I also added on here things that we're reading to Sophia.
Yeah.
I'm reading a book called The Ology.
Mm-hmm.
T-H-E space. O-L-O-G-Y.
Yeah.
So yes, it's theology, but it's a fun play on it called mm-hmm. Theology. And it is basically a practical theology book, maybe, is how I'd phrase it, for children.
Yeah.
The age range is pretty wide. Sophia is younger than the intended audience.
For sure.
But not too young that she doesn't enjoy it. In fact, she always asks me every day to read out of this book
because
she
enjoys it.
Yeah. Awaji is kind of how she says it. And then the other one we're reading is called The Biggest Story, which we've talked about on here before, I'm sure. I think we've talked about both of these before.
Oh, yeah. I think I remember mentioning that we had bought it.
Yep.
Or something.
And I'm almost all the way through it. I think Sophia and I have one chapter left, which we'll probably read after her nap today.
Oh, actually, The Biggest Story was gifted to us by your sister, I'm pretty sure.
Really?
Yeah, I'm sure. For Sophia's birthday last year, I think.
Oh, okay. Okay, I couldn't remember where we got that one.
Yeah.
But now she's finally old enough that I can explain it to her as I read it and explain a couple of things and how they relate to her. Not that she'll necessarily remember all of it right away and think about it, but enough that she has gone through it. It is in her mind and it will mm-hmm. come back and she'll remember it later. And it'll probably be one of those things that later she'll think back and go, oh, I remember this from that book. Oh, I remember learning about this from mm-hmm. dad. And things will start to click into place from it. Kind of like memorizing scripture as a kid. This isn't scripture, but it's kind of like when you memorize scripture
mm-hmm.
and then later you learn the meaning of a passage, then you have it all and it clicks. And then, or you're listening to a message, you're learning about or thinking about something theological, and then you're able to recall that scripture. You're like, oh, this scripture, I think, talks about that because you heard about it already.
Mm-hmm.
Then even if you don't understand it right away, it's good for you to know it.
Yep.
Not that I want to catechize people and not have them understand it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But sometimes it's okay if you learn a thing and don't really understand how it applies yet because you'll get it later, and it's very helpful. Is that Sophia waking up?
No, it's Timmy. He'll fall back asleep.
Okay. So those are two that we're reading to Sophia, which she's really enjoying. And I'm really enjoying as well. And I'm excited to go through them again in a year or 6 months or something like that when she's understanding a little more.
With how long they are, I mean, just start them over again. But
yeah, probably.
It might be a little repetitive for you, maybe.
I wouldn't mind, but I don't want Sophia to get bored of it and think it's a thing that we have to do.
We have
right now,
those
she
other
really
ones.
Enjoys them. Which ones?
The ones with the bad art.
Oh. Yeah, we'll think about it.
Okay.
We'll think about it. I don't know where I stand on like children's Bibles and children's stories yet.
No, not that one. You keep thinking of the wrong one.
No, no, no. I'm not thinking of the little one she pulls out. Yeah, I know.
Oh, that's the one you're talking about?
Yeah, I'm getting there.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure how I stand yet on like the Bible for kids and Bibles for kids. I know not all of them are the same. I don't want to lump them together, but I don't know where I draw the line in something being bad and something being good. Meaning, how off does a thing have to be for me to throw it out and say this isn't worth reading to the kids?
Yeah.
Like, there's one little, like, storybook Bible. It's not the storybook Bible. It's something different. But it's a little, like, kids Bible that...
It's like a Walmart kids Bible.
Yes. Yeah. And it basically... They're trying to be super duper inclusive. And by doing that, they exclude Jesus is God and you have sin. And the only thing they have is Jesus did good things for people because they helped the people. Or these things happened and people's lives were made better.
Like very simplified miracle stories.
Yeah. And it borders on like prosperity gospel. Like it's not trying to present a gospel, but that's how it comes across is your life will be better.
If you think about it deeply.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm like, how much do I want to care about that at my kids' reading? Like they're still learning about stories, but even does it help them at all, or does it make them think more, oh, the Bible is stories, not actual accounts and events? I don't know. Mm. I'm not sure yet. There's probably a lot of things about kids and learning and me overthinking things that I need to take into account, but I don't want to underthink something.
Yeah.
I would rather overthink it than underthink it, but I'd rather overthink it and then seek wise counsel. So I haven't gotten there yet with this specific issue.
Right.
Anyway, that's probably where we'll end it. That was close. That's where we're going to end it. Thank you guys for listening in this week. Hopefully it was helpful. Hopefully it intrigued you. And maybe you want to go pick up that book. Why Should I Give to My Church? And read it.
Oh, yeah. Guess what? We're recording on a Saturday.
Well, we also missed a week.
Okay, but just don't think about that.
Yeah, don't think about that. We're recording way ahead of time.
So hopefully that means next week we don't miss.
Yep.
And we can not miss the next week after that.
Yeah. Yep.
So, yeah.
All right. That's going to wrap it up for us. Until next time, keep serving or start serving within your local church.
Bye. Bye.